Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/Wondery and use code Wondery for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/Wondery, code Wondery.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code AUDIO to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code AUDIO at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code AUDIO.
Welcome to the Nerdist Podcast, number 629. Also, thank you so much if you came out to see myself and April Richardson performing this past weekend in Portland and Denver. The shows were unbelievably fun, and I am super psyched. I was a little nervous going into the Fun Comfortable Tour because I just wasn't sure. You know, there were pieces of the set, and I'm like, oh, I don't know if this is working, and it all seems to be working well now, so I feel good. And the next date is February 27th in Chicago. There's an 8 and 10:30 show there. And then March 13th in St. Louis. And then in April and May and June, just a run of dates. Go to funcomfortabletour.com if you want to get tickets and info. The idea of Fun Comfortable is basically, it was kind of inspired by some advice that I got from Mike Birbiglia a couple of years ago, where he said, you know, go to a place where you're not... where you're just kind of on the edge of comfortable or just being past comfortable and then right from there. And then when he said that, a light bulb went off that I have nothing but those kinds of stories where there's just like, it's like borderline cringy where you're like, no, why would someone say or do that? And because I've been essentially socially awkward in interpersonal situations for pretty much my entire life. So I just for fun. There isn't any reason for this, but if you have similar stories and you want to post them on Twitter or tell them photographically with Instagram or make a video, hashtag them FunComfortable and let me know. Tweet them at me, and maybe we'll read some on the next time we do a Hostful podcast. Which, by the way, we're doing our 5-year anniversary show tonight. 5 fucking years of the Nerdist podcast. We're just doing a small little show at Meltdown tonight live. So I just thank you guys so much for allowing us to do this for the last 5 years. We really, 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 really appreciate it. It's been the most incredible experience and given us all the best things we could have ever hoped for socially and career-wise and spiritually. I have learned and I continue to learn from our guests and from you guys. So thank you so much. We will post that this Friday. We'll post the live 5-year anniversary podcast. It's just going to be a Hostful. Tom Lennon was almost going to be in it, but he ended up having to go shoot something in Vancouver. So just going to be a Hostful podcast, just us and a bunch of Quemants, and we'll celebrate the 5 years. This episode is Nick Kroll. The final season of Kroll Show is on Comedy Central Tuesdays at 10:30. So watch that there. Here's Nerdist Podcast number 629 with Nick Kroll. A three-peat!
Now entering Nerdist.com.
Fun. It's time to start the podcast.
Oh.
Podcast time.
Welcome.
Three-peat.
So yeah.
It's your third appearance on the podcast.
Oh, yeah. I'm going to soak every goddamn fucking listener you got.
Nick and I were just discussing how on Twitter we both get that we look like each other.
Yes.
I'm the fat version of Nick Kroll.
And I'm Skinny Mamira.
There you go. It all works out.
which is just about... Which, Matt, I just got to say, it's the only time that skinny is a part of my descriptive. So I'm grateful
to
got...
help. Here to help.
And we've both got beards now.
It's really something else.
Yeah.
I don't know why you just reminded me of... This is so weirdly specific, and then we'll get back to how you guys
kind of
look like each other. Is the commercial in Back to School...
where Rodney Dangerfield has the Thornton Melons, like the tall and fat shop of the news, and he goes, because if you want to look skinny, you hang out with fat people.
I don't know.
Yeah. That just made me think of that. That commercial is amazing. That movie is, by the way, have you watched that movie recently?
Not in the last couple of years, but I do enjoy it.
It's hilarious, but it's like, it's so crazy because it's not, he's not acting. He's just doing jokes. He'll be like, you know, like, my last wife gave me a headache, which means, you know, she. I can't do a Rodney Dangerfield. And then, like, the older professor who he's in a romantic relationship with is like, oh, Thornton.
That's Sally Kellerman, yes.
It's Sally Kellerman. He's yes. like, you know, he's like, the only head my ex-wife would give me is a headache.
Yeah, that's right.
Thornton, you're
hilarious. They just wrote around him.
Yeah.
Like, he just had to show up and be himself, and then they just wrote around him and then pretended that he was...
They got the act. All they had was the act.
Right. You got our DJ, Robert Downey Jr. is fantastic in that
movie.
Good
I wonder what the process of writing that was. If it was like... If
I believe
Rodney
Harold
was
Ramis
like,
directed it.
Did he?
Did Harold direct Back
or
to
no,
School?
He produced it. I'm sorry. He produced it for sure. But it's, yeah.
Like, I wonder if he was like, these are the jokes I want to do. Figure it out.
I think so, basically. And then that guy, his son, is like the most uncharismatic guy I've ever seen on film.
Well, that's Keith. He's a director. He directs a shit ton of television
now, I think. And by that, I mean he's one of the great...
I'm just glad that he was able to take his talents behind the camera. Because he was in Christine, too.
I think...
Keith Gordon, yeah.
Keith Gordon. And
look at what he's directed.
Who else is... There are a couple other people in there that are...
Burt Young.
The bad guy. Sorry. Yeah, the bully is the guy from Karate Kid.
The bully's like Billy Zabka. And then William Young, who's in Rocky.
Yes. Oh, he
plays Paulie.
Paulie, yeah. Yeah. And he's the driver / muscle.
Yeah, Keith Gordon directed Dexter, The Killing, Masters of Sex, Homeland.
Really
yeah.
a lot of stuff where I think your uncharismaticness would be very helpful.
And like I said.
Listen, Keith.
On camera.
Don't listen to Matt Myra and Smaller Matt Myra. Chris Hardwick and
Smaller Matt Myra.
Don't listen to Matt Myra and Matt Miretta. Yeah.
Miranito.
Sí.
Sí,
Matt. Hey, Dios mío.
Yo soy Matt Miranito.
I am all on board for you. Yeah, yeah, that's right, because he had a run of a couple movies in a very distinct period of time, and then just started directing.
I think a lot of those guys smartly are like, what am I doing? Like, why am I being a straight man to Rodney Dangerfield? Like, why don't I go direct constantly and go make a pile of money and not deal with any
of this? Well, personally, I think if you're just an actor, you're sort of hoping like, I hope I age in the right direction to keep working.
Yes. Yeah.
Maybe because I'm not going to be leading. I'm not going to be leading guy forever. Maybe I'll get charactery. Who knows what's going to happen?
Right.
And so having a backup skill, especially
maybe
with directing,
get charactery.
Well, but you look at like the Timothy Busfields of the world who like goes and directs a bunch versus like the guy who looked like Michael Bay.
Right.
and talking about like, Lorenzo Lamas?
No, there's a guy from 30 something who looks.
Peter Horton.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Who looks a lot like Michael Bay.
Yeah, they both had that late 80s, early 90s. Like, it was the Fabio.
The blonde shag.
The locks.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And then I guess there was already Michael Bay, so Peter Horton couldn't go direct.
Fuck.
Maybe I'll get more Michael Bay. Maybe I'll.
Because that's how directing works. Like, we already got one guy with long blonde hair. You can't.
We already have our weird egomaniacal guy who's afraid of.
I can't be mistaken from behind. Get him off the set.
Very possible. By the way.
That's exactly what would happen.
And by the way, not to say a bad word about Michael, who's a personal
visionary,
hero,
a talent.
Visionary for me and someone who I'd love to work with one day. So.
Would you though? If you want to just put me in a movie to blow me up, I'm good.
Sure.
That's totally fine. That's
I
totally
mean,
fine.
I wouldn't balk at a franchise.
Or they could just blow Nick up and then cut, I stand in frame, he gets bigger, yeah, and then after me, explosion.
Years later being like...
Because I wonder... Not that it's ever been offered to me, but if he was like, hey, do you want to be in the next Transformers movie?
Yeah.
Knowing it would probably be not amazing, I'd be like, meh, sure, why not?
Right.
Like,
you know? That's the thing, is like, you're like...
I'm not a serious actor, I don't give a shit.
Right, but you're like, do you want so much money? just a bet for a little bit of work. I don't know. I mean, I don't know. It's not. It's never been the lifelong dream. We did a thing on Kroll Show this year of Bobby Bottle Service. It's like our final ghost bouncers where he goes into the body. It's a very weird thing. It's like we did it in season one.
Talk about it seriously. And our final ghost bouncers.
Yes.
I'm very serious about this show. And it's the episode is about Chelsea Pretty plays Farley, who's like Bobby's on again, off again love, and she's haunting her love is haunting Bobby. So Bobby decides to go into his own body to bounce the ghost of Farley's love, and it's like the most ridiculous thing ever. But we shot it all. The only way to shoot inside my own body was green screen. So we had did a 3-day, like almost our version of like Bill Benz, who directed with Dan Longino, the guys who used to edit our show, directed it this year. And Benz storyboarded the entire thing. Like it was like a comic book superhero movie. Like you have to, this is the only way you can do that kind of green screeny stuff. But we were on a stage for like 2 days doing green screen. It was so fucking boring.
Yeah.
And I was like, this is the smallest, fastest version of anything like this. I was like, so that's what it's like to make one of these movies? Like, you're in a green screen.
It's like being in a nonstop commercial audition.
Yes.
Like, nonstop. Yeah. Like, okay, and now here comes an octopus.
Yeah.
You're like,
yeah. The tennis ball, and someone just pelting tennis balls.
Are you guys watching The Comeback? Did you see that?
No, I haven't seen it. I saw the first couple. Is there
a... There's a whole thing where Lisa has to act at a whole green screen situation in the TV show she's on. It's so funny.
It is so weird, but it's like, you're like, oh, that's why like huge actors want a lot of money and go crazy.
Yeah.
It's because they're on a weird air-conditioned like green screen lot somewhere in like the outskirts of England and are miserable making one of these movies that they are not acting. They're just like, ooh, you know, running in place.
Better put on my jumpsuit.
Yeah, time to get like painted onto a jumpsuit for 5 hours. Their lives are so hard.
It's so hard. They have the hardest lives. Yeah. I think they have...
that's the real struggle. Yeah. I think actors' lives matter.
Yes.
Yeah. Let's get them out of green screen environments.
Let's get them back in the real world where they don't want to be.
Yeah, where they belong. They're not...
Let's start building sets again.
Yeah, let's start rescuing actors. We'll.
But I do want to talk more seriously about the serious aspects of Kroll Show this
year. The final season.
The final season. What a proclamation
to make,
Why
do you like hurting people by stopping your show?
I felt like we had did the show we wanted to do, and I think it's a very weird thing to stop something that's seemingly working, but kind of like the British model of shows where you're like, oh, great, we did like 15, 20, 30 episodes. We've done 30 episodes, and it felt like we did the show that we had mapped out or organically occurred, and versus continuing to do it and feeling like... You know, we're kind of doing – we're out of Bobby. I mean, like, we sent Bobby Bottle Service into his own body to bust the ghost of Farley's love.
The end.
Like what more – like, you know what I mean? Like, when you get to that level, you're like, we've heightened this out as far as it can go.
Did he ever go into space?
No.
Well, you got another season then.
Oh, there we go.
Or a movie.
Yeah, well, we did the other Bobby things that we've done this year, the In Addition To's, which is like his Expendables, which is crazy. And the other thing is Gigolo Horse, which is in the first episode of the season, which is, it's like last year we had Gigolo House, where all of them are living in a house together, like a reality show, but like or sort of like Gigolos, that show on Showtime that I love that's produced by Richard Grieco. And
interesting footnote.
This year it's like Gigolo Horse. Basically, the idea is that there's an app called Luber, and it means anyone can become a gigolo now. And the market is flooded. And so we now have to have an elimination to get rid of some of the gigolos. So it's me and Mandzukas, who's playing Eagle Wing, and John Daly as Peter Paparazzo, and like a bunch of other people. Steve Dildarian comes back, who's the guy who created Life and Times of Tim. And then CT from... So we created this thing called, it's a challenge, like an elimination show. Like,
oh, wait, you actually got CT?
Yeah, like, you know, like, and we got CT from the challenge, who's on an elimination show to be on our elimination show, which is crazy. When you see CT, who looks like a guy who's on one of those shows.
I mean, that's literally the man's job now, is to be on these MTV Challenge shows.
Yeah, I mean, that's what he does. So, and like, and our directors, Bill and Dan, were in a Grantland has a fantasy reality show, like, for. Like, can you explain it at all?
It's essentially like it's a fantasy league. So like fantasy football or fantasy baseball, where each individual's accomplishments earn you points. So for instance, if you were to take somebody on a reality show and that person were to hit a woman, you'd get X amount of points.
Right.
If they were to have a mental breakdown in the middle of the season and start crying for no reason, you get points.
Right. Okay. So CT is the Peyton Manning. Yeah. Of fantasy, you know. I mean, so we got him on the show, and literally, we were going to have the choice was like because for the in addition to it was like we want an action star, you know, to be in this. So it was either like, well, let's go out to Sylvester Stallone, or we go out to CT.
And when you got CT, you were like, thanks, Sly. We're good.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. And Sly's like, hey, you know,
I was gonna do it.
Sorry, you okay?
My Sylvester Stallone has turned into like a Arnold Schwarzenegger. He's turned into my Sly Stallone's turned into a weird, also like Schwarzenegger-esque.
Did you watch the movie where they both break out of prison? I didn't see it.
No, I wanted to.
I wanted to watch it too, and I didn't watch it.
They're in a future prison, right?
They're in a prison that Stallone designed.
But we're all in a prison of Sylvester Stallone's design.
So I caught up on so many weird things over the holidays. A lot of what I would call...
I think it was less catching up and more discovering that this television
vital
exists.
Matt Myra programming.
Yeah,
just like... I watched a ton of Investigation Discovery.
Yeah.
Oh, people like that a lot.
I think this was on Investigation Discovery. It was, and I texted you like, what is the fucking point of the show? There's a show called America Uncovered.
Yep.
What
no
is
point.
It?
And this
no
guy point. Is a this guy's a I can't remember his name, but he's a forensic geologist. So
the guy with the funny hair? No, that's a different.
No,
guy.
That's Ancient Aliens.
Yes, yes. Thank you. Thank you.
Oh yeah, that's Giorgio.
Yes.
Who has his own show now?
I bet he does.
His own alien.
He looks like
show.
Steve Brule. That guy.
Giorgio gets oranger.
Yes.
As
yeah.
The series
and his jewelry
progresses.
Becomes more ornate.
I think every time he does a season, he gets abducted, and then they do something to him, and then he comes back down.
Well, he's like the reverse of the portrait of Dorian Gray. The more famous he gets, the weirder and uglier
it almost
he
looks
becomes.
Like, it almost looks like a tanning bed blew up in his face. I hope to God he doesn't have some weird condition that we're all making fun of now.
No,
fame.
Yeah, it's called becoming the famous guy that believes aliens were here thousands of years ago. It's the only show I've ever
by
seen.
By the way, sort of. Like, he doesn't give a fuck.
No,
like,
the funny thing is, but it's the only show that has never had a declarative statement.
But none of them if you remember and then we'll get to America Uncovered, but if you remember the old In Search Of.
I do remember it.
Which
very
was
well.
A phenomenally wonderful show narrated by Leonard Nimoy and very creepy and had the creepy Moog synth opening. They never, even as a kid, I was like, they've never arrived at any point. It's always, they present a bunch of facts, and at the end, you're waiting for the big reveal, and it's like, no one really knows if Big Bang. And so nothing ever happens. So this guy, America Uncovered, you know, he starts every episode with like the loftiest goal possible, like, I'm going to find the Ark of the Covenant, you know?
Yeah, or
and then,
an
and then,
ancient fort in America, yeah.
Right,
yeah.
So he goes, he'll go up to Canada somewhere to find like where the Templars maybe buried this thing, this treasure. And so first of all, there were like 30 commercials in a half-hour show. Like every 3 minutes, there were commercials. And
we got another cliffhanger.
Every coming back
they set
from
up,
every act,
they set it
it's
all
a previous. Minute of what we've already seen.
Yeah.
And
very few. Someone who has now flipped through a lot of that shit, there's no actual programming.
It's almost like their demographic is Nell. That character
there's
that
a,
is never where they have to like
a great
hold
song.
Her hand.
There's a
the
3.5-minute Mitchell and Webb sketch that is essentially. It's called The Gift Shop, and Webb goes to buy a gift for his aunt. And the whole show is presented as a brand new British reality show that is just forward the plot a sentence recap that sentence. Forward it another sentence. Yeah. Recap it. It's brilliant.
I love those guys. But this guy, this forensic geologist, never really solves. At least the episodes that I saw, maybe he does.
Well, it's like Finding Bigfoot.
Never really solves anything. And by the way,
and what is a forensic geologist?
Someone it's basically like, someone that like the legal system will call, among other things, like the courts will call in if they need to establish like, oh, you know, what type of
tire,
what's on
marker,
the bottom of this shoe that is can place this person at this crime scene.
Uh-huh.
I mean, it's basically, you know, you're basically doing, you know, geology science to solve.
Well,
something.
On the bottom of that shoe is Nicole Brown Simpson's blood.
Right.
Not guilty.
You know, I think it would actually be a pretty I think there could be like a funny movie based around. Because I had a joke in my old act about how if there were ghosts all of a sudden, you wouldn't find out about it like on TLC.
Yes,
it'd be in the news.
It would be very
and so
present.
If this guy, like even the very premise and notion of a show, and he's like, I think I'd like to find the Ark of the Covenant or whatever, that you automatically know, like, well, he's not going to find it because someone would have,
right?
Like, there would have been some type of
Indiana Jones would be coming out with this discovery.
But that would be a really interesting. I think there'd be a funny, like, low budge movie about a host like that accidentally finds the Ark of the Covenant, like, under a rubble pile in Winnipeg,
and is like, all right, here we go. we had the guy from Ghost Adventurers.
Oh shit,
Ghost Hunters. Reach out to be like, we watch Ghost Bouncers, which is the weirdest thing in the world.
So
and Bobby Bottle Service tweeted it, being like, I'm a big fan, love to be on the show. It was the weirdest thing. You're like, but I was just thinking about this today with you mentioned the OJ trials. Like, do you think Judge Ito is like walks into a room? He's like, someone's gonna want a picture.
Okay, now you say that. About a year and a half ago, I was at some event with my mom and like the Pasadena Board of Realtors, because she's a realtor. And we go to this event, and fucking Judge Ito was there. And I totally went up to him and took a picture with him. And he was totally kind of annoyed by it.
Oh, he was.
He was. I was like, hey, is it cool if I get a big... I don't know.
Of course he was.
He was... Because
I don't know. In my mind, I've built up Ito as like being like having pursued that trial. Like in my mind, like...
You gotta get on that.
Like, I gotta get that trial. It's gonna be great for my exposure. But like, I don't know why, but I'm like, here, you know, he walks in just like people are like,
the house I live in used to be at some point it was a commercial property that housed a talent agency.
Okay. Congratulations.
So, thank you. I occasionally sent to the house, I get fan mail for people that like they still think the address is here, and like I'll open it, it's like, I loved you on Three's Company. And then I'll like go back and
that's illegal, but go on.
Listen, it's these people are dead.
Okay.
And then I got one for Lance Ito.
Are you serious?
Really?
What was the fan letter to Lance Ito?
I didn't open that one. He's a judge.
And so
I will not take that risk.
Lance Ito's talent agent used to live in your house with
my house.
I represent some of the biggest names in the judicial system.
You're familiar with Lance Ito?
Judge Jeanine Pirro, Judge Ito.
Now, technically, that's actually one of the smaller names, Ito. It's only three letters, but
it's one of the biggest. Wojciechowski, I think, is a judge.
What if you said like, "I loved you"? Hey, I loved you in the Dancing Itos. Like, you just totally didn't get the. That's an even weirder, outdated reference.
But the name Lance Ito is. I mean, that was part of everything about that trial was perfect.
The mystique of that whole,
besides of course the fact that
everything but the outcome of that trial was perfect.
Besides the fact that two people were murdered and a guilty man was set free.
Other than that, everything else. What a fun party! What an upbeat!
I hung out with a couple, an 11-year-old and a 15-year-old, and the 15-year-old didn't know what the OJ trial was.
Of course,
which was like, but that shocked me. Like, if someone was like, I don't know about the. You know, I don't know about Monica Lewinsky, or I don't know about like something political from the 90s. I'd be like, okay, but I'm like, OJ? You don't know about OJ? Like, that's the foundation of American culture.
Yeah.
Like, that's the most important thing.
That was like the center of the world in 1995.
Yeah.
Was that trial.
It
was amazing.
Do you guys remember where you were?
Yeah, I was in science class.
I was
7th grade science class.
I was in, when the verdict was read, I climbed a tree at school. so that when people were like, where were you when the OJ trial verdict was read? I was like, up in a tree. And then I saw the six black kids in my school run outside celebrating, and I was like, oh, I guess OJ got free.
I mean, how you climbed up so that when people asked you, yet you didn't leave a space to ask
No. Nick, 20 years down the road, and I fucking blew the lead.
You were doing bits as a child.
Yeah, totally.
Like, someday,
I'm going to be on a thing called a podcast.
Wait, I'm having the weird visions again. And your nose starts bleeding. I was dating a girl who was living at the Oakwood Apartments.
Congratulations.
My God. Nice, buddy. How was pilot season four?
It was a good pilot season. and I remember watching it in... Boy, the Oakwood, just the crappy furniture. Oh, you did?
Did you really?
I lived in the Oakwood when I was auditioning for pilot season, the pilot season that I booked the tremendously successful Caveman program.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
But I was living in the Oakwood.
Going into its ninth season.
Its ninth season, and the makeups never felt better. But I was living in the Oakwood, and I was subletting the apartment. A guy bought his Oakwood apartment.
Wow.
Now, for those people who don't know, Oakwoods are like the temporary living facilities for people who come out to L.A. for a couple months during pilot season, or like the child actors.
Furnished apartments.
Yes.
That are
the Hollywood complex.
Watch the documentary.
Have you seen the Hollywood complex?
No.
Oh man, it's a documentary about a bunch of kids who live in the Hollywood. Barham Oakwood.
Yep.
And the Presley Cash.
Oh, she's the best.
It's fascinating.
Okay. They could not have had a better ending for that.
It is. It's amazing, and it's about these kids who are there and like the people who are basically hustling them to pay for headshots and pay for new glamour, everything. You know, it's just like, it's all the awful shit about how like people are leeched
and
off.
And this studio comes up a lot because they shoot a lot of Disney here. So they drop the kids off at the studio.
It's crazy. But I was living there and I was playing basketball, pick up basketball every day with Ben Schwartz, who was out here doing like Robot Chicken. And we were playing against like a bunch of little kids who were auditioning for like Disney shows.
Wow.
And I was getting beaten by those
kids. Kids, gather around. I'm going to tell you where I was during the OJ trial.
But it's like, the deli. Did you ever go to the deli in the Oakwoods?
Probably.
It was a long time ago. There's a deli in there, and like there are like, you know, a little supermarket inside the supermarket for there.
Wow.
And it's filled with children's headshots.
Souls of the children.
Yes. And all these like 5-year-old boys like brooding headshots of just like, it was so depressing.
I cannot recommend watching the Hollywood Complex enough.
It's great.
It's so fascinating.
It's great.
It's a movie?
It's I think it's on Netflix.
Or Amazon.
It's on Amazon.
It was a PBS documentary.
It's just about follows all these kids. There's like this Presley Cash girl and her mother have been living in the Oakwoods for 3 years. And renting a car the entire time. Yeah.
There's a real interesting template of that I noticed a lot of, which was single mom, completely absent father.
Yes.
Mom's like chain smoking. Yes. And you know, like,
well,
cute daughter auditioning a ton and
from
hoping
what I could
to get
tell
the
from the documentary, and they can back me up here. It wasn't that it was an absentee father, it was that the father was always in their hometown earning the money to pay for the
one or the other. Yeah. Watch you have largely dialed up. Yeah.
I dated
scenarios.
In that. I mean, like, my girlfriend at the time was in that realm.
Hillary Duff.
It was that, and it was not Hillary Duff.
I mean, her picture was
it was
Haley. Haley Duff.
It was not Haley. It was there were no Duffs. It was not Duff Man. It was all, but
the,
it was this,
the voice
crazy,
of Duff Beer.
Crazy. It was not the voice of Duff. Okay, it was the voice of Duff Beer. But it was such a strange thing to see. That repeat itself over and over and over and over and over again. Like, that part of the valley is so strange. And for people, obviously, people who don't are from LA don't know what the fuck we're talking about.
All
but
there
like
is
Ventura
a
Boulevard, Barham, Laurel Canyon,
on the
like
way.
That chunk of Studio City is so weird.
It's the crossroads of hell.
Yeah.
Because
it's like the Oakwoods and Forest Lawn Cemetery, or like
right next to each other.
I was living there, and I was subletting my apartment. I was subletting from a cruise ship comedian who had bought his Oakwood apartment.
Why would you do that?
I had nowhere to.
No, not you. Why would you buy? An
I don't
Oakwood
know.
Apartment?
Why would you buy a temporary housing facility? I don't know. So I kept getting locked out because one of those doors that was really heavy and it would lock immediately and there was no way to like keep it. So, but and I was illegally subletting from this guy. So I couldn't go to the front desk to be like, can you get me in? Because I wasn't allowed to be technically be there.
Right.
And he was on a cruise ship. So there were times where he was like off of the grid of cell phone, like you couldn't reach him. So there were days at a time where I was like, I'd locked myself out and my extra set of keys was in my car, but my keys to my car were in the house.
Oh, shit.
So I'm now, so at one point I had to climb. I was like, I think I'd left, this was now the second or third time I had locked myself out. So I had left the sliding door to my house, to the apartment open, but I was on the second floor. So the Oakwoods are face Barham, which are on the way to
Warner Brothers
yeah. and all of the studios, Disney, but it's like heavily trafficked. So I'm climbing up the side of a, like literally if anyone looked over, they would just see a man climbing a patio, climbing up a terrace like a robber, just a straight up midday blatant robber. But I'm climbing up and I'm covered in the soot of like, you know, yeah. Studio City traffic. And I get back up and I'm so fucking furious with this guy that I'm like, you know what? I'm going to watch this guy's stand-up reel. Because I just was like, he had VHSs of all of his reel. I'm like, I'm going to watch his reel and see what this guy does. I turn it on. It's a stand-up New York tape from like, you know, whatever, 2004. And I watch his act. He does Jim Carrey in his act. He's like, what would it be like if Jim Carrey was stuck in traffic? And and the guy's like, all righty then.
No. Did that make you madder?
Oh, that's horrible.
It made me madder, but it also made me so happy. It like felt right. like the great equalizer.
You know, let's talk about it, though. What it would be like if Jim Carrey were stuck in traffic?
All righty then.
And now I'm just in traffic. Like, it's just him in traffic. There's nowhere to go.
But it was...
What if Rich Little impersonated Carson?
Yeah. Hello, I'm Johnny Carson.
That's Rich Little.
By the way, there is a website which has Rich Little's, all of his impressions, and every one of them starts with, oh, hello, I'm Johnny Carson.
Oh, hello. Yes.
Oh, hello, I'm a... You know, I don't know. How you doing? Hey there, didn't see you come in.
Didn't see you come in there.
So what are you going to do now with Kroll Show ending? Are you doing other stuff?
I don't know.
Are you going to talk to Geico and see if they want to turn the iguana thing
Let's
into
get
a...
get that gecko up gecko. There. Get that gecko running.
I think they're like, we backed the wrong ad campaign. We should have made the gecko TV show.
All right, guys, hear me out. Cave gecko. It's a prehistoric gecko.
Who is not comfortable in society, but he's British. Those ads are so weird. The Geico ads and then now the nation... One of the other companies, Esurance, ads are jokes about the Geico ads.
Yeah.
It's so weird.
But the Geico one is interesting because they have not – they don't stick with one ad campaign. They run like four simultaneously.
And it's just like
– But it's working. We're talking
about
it.
And one of them is just a fucking – one of them is just a Family Guy joke every commercial.
Right. It's a cutaway to –
It's like you know that you shouldn't – there are some Looney Tunes characters you shouldn't give energy drinks to. Cut to
– Yeah.
I'm Tasmanian Devil.
At a fucking – at a photo shoot.
But it's somehow offensive to me because like the idea that because like every second or third commercial is an insurance company commercial. I mean like, you know, you can save money. I was like, clearly nobody's saving money because y'all are putting commercials on every fucking minute, which means y'all got so much money to play with.
Yeah. It's ridiculous.
But again, I just want to reach out to the Geicos and the Nationwide.
If they want
to
hire,
you know, I'm happy to.
I'd love to work.
They want
to
hire Nick. If they want to hire a fatter version of Nick, whatever.
Whatever. I'd love to work with them. I'd love to, if you need a director, the guy who was Rodney Dangerfield's son is a great guy.
Did you know I could save up to 30% of my car insurance? Well, did you know there's a guy who's a larger version of Nick?
Hi.
Oh, hey, guys.
Hey, how are you?
That's it.
And that's it. It's the most inside commercial in the world.
Well, Wayne Fetterman's in one of them, and I love Wayne Fetterman.
He's
in the Willie Nelson one.
Oh, nice.
Is he?
Becker, my friend Allison Becker, is in one right now. And it's funny.
That one? Is the Willie Nelson one where they're... Is it Geico? It's one where they're all playing poker with the...
Are you sure they're not playing it with Mr. You-Know-How-To-Hold... Kenny Rogers? It's not Willie Nelson.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
It's Kenny Rogers.
What's the difference?
No, right.
There's right. Yeah.
Is Wayne now constantly just playing people who play poker and things? Like,
he did on Louie or no? What has he done it on?
I feel like in like one of the Apatow movies. Yeah, yeah. Like,
well, he feels like a guy around a poker table.
Yeah, he really.
By the way, I still have a little bit of vacation brain. Like, my wires aren't completely scrubbed off
we'll
and
just
firing.
You thought Willie Nelson was Kenny Rogers?
They're the same, right, guys?
Did you guys watch? I only watched. Speaking of TV stuff that we watch over, I watched one episode of the Sonic Highways, the Dave Grohl thing, and there's one that he goes from city to city and like they write a new song in each city for their new album, for the Foo Fighters' new album. And I watched the Nashville one, and there's footage of Willie Nelson when he tried to make it in Nashville, where he's clean cut, clean.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. He looks shaven. He looks it's so crazy to see him.
Yeah.
In that
he looks like a dweeb.
Yeah.
Like he looks so not cool.
And it wasn't until he was like, fuck it.
Yeah. Like when he was like already in his 40s or 50s, was like, I'm going to go back to Austin and get blazed and write country songs, where everyone was like, that guy's cool.
Well, but it's also an amazing story of trying to fit into the paradigm. It's like, oh, you have to do this. You have to. It's the only way.
Yeah.
And then going, I'm just going to do my own thing and fuck everyone else. And then everyone going, hey, that.
Yeah. It's fascinating. It was really cool to watch, because you are like, God, this, like, you would, if someone showed you a picture, you'd be like, I don't think that's Willie Nelson. Like, and by the way, Kenny Rogers just gets weirder and weirder looking.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you think that he's having more work done, or he's just puffing into the work he currently
has?
Well,
I don't understand is that, as you know, like this whole rash of men getting plastic surgery as they get older, they just turn into like fembots. Like, there's this sort of weird that it doesn't make you look. I mean, it's obviously some type of dysmorphia, because it doesn't make you look younger or better. It just makes you look in this other weird third humanoid category that's not.
Well, you're just like, what would Kenny Rogers look like if he was made of marzipan?
No, it's like he's in one of the Food Network cake baking shows where they make a cake a Kenny Rogers cake that is just
your challenge today.
Now you're gonna have to know when to hold the dough and know when to fold the dough.
Tonight on Cupcake Wars,
the cake.
You're competing to win a chance to
The Gambler, a classic Willie Nelson song.
I'm sorry, my brain was messed up for a second.
Yeah, oh, I love Kenny Rogers Whiskey River.
What was it, Kenny Rogers Roasters? Is that what
Kenny Rogers Roasters?
Yeah. Did you ever go to one?
I did. Yeah, there was one in West LA when I lived in on the West Side.
That's what he looks like. He looks like a rotisserie chicken version of himself.
They closed up so many of his restaurants. Yeah. He was like, I'll use these roasters.
Yeah, I'll just
I'll just stand in here.
Spigot.
I don't know. You know, it's you know, and I don't want to shit on it too much, because.
Do it.
Who knows what happens as you start to get older and you're like, good. Because already, you know,
I look at myself. I have to watch myself 5 times when I'm editing Kroll Show.
Yeah.
I have to watch it more than at least 3 times before I can give notes on the episode, because I'm just like, fat face, stupid stomach, dumb hair.
Well, you know what's weird? It's like,
you should just put a picture of me next to it. They're like, all right, I'm okay. Right, I'm okay.
That worked. I don't know what's worse is actually being a lot older, or, you know, being, because I just turned 43, and so that's an age where it's like, I'm still close enough to when I wasn't in my 40s. Like, that was just, like, the other day, you know? Like, Jesus. As opposed to when you're, like, 60, and you're like, I know
you're not doing this for any reason, but you look very good for 43.
It worked.
It worked.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Just living clean, friend.
I know.
I look terrible for 31.
No, you don't.
You look
great.
You look just 31.
No, thanks. No, it's perfect. I almost look 31.
Yeah, I found a bunch of old. I was just going through old pictures on vacation. It's like, oh, let's see what's in these old folders. And again, I've noticed this many times. You do not look like the same person, Matt Myra.
Well,
like, you literally look like
just making my way to Kroll size.
Yeah,
get there.
You just got a picture of me on a mirror.
Doing
step aerobics, looking in, being like, one day I'm in a.
It's like I had someone print it on a transparency, so I step in front of it.
A full size body transparency.
You're the best around. Nothing's gonna ever keep you down. You're the best.
And you were a puffier man.
Yeah, a long time ago.
You were a boozy puffy face.
Yeah, in 2003, 98 to 2003.
Yeah.
That was Peter Hardwick's time to shine. that was the window of
sweet puff.
Of just like no.
Is he still in there?
Let me talk to Peter.
No, man. Please help me.
Somebody free me. Free me. If you could just get a drop of booze on his tongue, I'll be free. No more podcast. No more piercing. Just a taste. Just a taste. Just rub deodorant on my mouth. It'll work. Alcohol will dry out. Get me to snort a powdered donut.
You every morning and night when you're using mouthwash, it starts to come.
I can see him.
Peek up.
Swallow it. Swallow it. What is that, Lavoris? Swallow it.
It's all possible.
Yeah. No. It's. I don't. Hopefully, there aren't traces of him left.
Is Peter? That was your alter ego.
That's what I call that period. Yeah. You know, because it was interesting. Because when I first lost a bunch of weight, I was a lot skinnier, but I had I was literally just ribbon. Like there was no musculature holding my
body.
Yeah,
what's that like?
So I had bad. my back was really fucked up, and I just because my core was so weak, yeah. And my back was fucked up constantly, and I was, you know. It was a bad time.
Are you exercising a lot now?
Yeah, I go to a trainer four times a week.
You got
to
do it.
We got the same guy.
Yeah,
I love it.
Yeah, you get weirdly addicted to that too.
Well, I had him write up because when we went on vacation, I had him write out. I'm not someone who can go. I'll just go into the gym and just do stuff.
I like being
told what to do.
I need someone to tell me what to do.
I had him write out six. Six programs, yeah. And then I just went in and looked them and filed them.
I have a trainer as well. I had him write out programs for me to do, and then I didn't do any of them.
Yeah, I've lost like 80 pounds with Tom, but I've put on like
muscle.
Probably 25 pounds of muscle.
Mm-hmm. Wow, you've lost 80 pounds.
At my heaviest, I was 460 pounds.
What?
Yeah.
And when I started this podcast, I was probably 360, 370,
wow,
something like that.
So you were already down. You were already down a buck.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
By the time you started the podcast,
I guess I just never made eye contact with you when you were that heavy.
No, I'm kidding. No one would expect.
Wow,
you to.
Was that a shock? That were you? What? How? I'm sure you've talked about
this.
But like, what? How
do you realize that you have to do something, or how do you get to that?
Do you get to that?
You just sort of
you give up.
You just eat. And eat.
And you don't think about
it. And you don't. You think nothing of the fact that you're just constantly eating and doing nothing.
And when you're looking at your own body, you can't see yourself. Like, you can't see the... Or when you're with someone all the time, you don't see them changing in front of your eyes.
Right, right, yeah. So I see me every day.
Yeah.
You know, it never looked that crazy to me. And I was always a fat kid. But at some point, like, right around high school, like, this... junior year of high school, I really started to get.
Was there a tipping point to lose?
I don't know. The tipping point to lose, I was having problems sleeping.
You'd apnea?
So I had the apnea going, and there were many nights where I was consciously aware that I was not breathing and could not move because I was in sleep paralysis.
Yes, yes.
You know, you have three or four nights a week where you embrace death and understand that it's coming.
Yes.
And then,
well, because you're not breathing.
You're like, oh, I'm not. Oh, this is how I go. Okay, I'm good. And then
why do people need to take DMT?
Yeah, right.
And then Frasier reaches out a hand and says, come over to the other side.
Yes, Dr. Crane. So it was sort of that. And then like seeing a doctor and the doctor going like, listen, here's the deal. You're never going to be small. But you got to lose weight. You're going to die.
Yeah.
So.
And that got you.
Yeah.
Yeah, that I was watching
My 600-pound life?
No. See that? No, I can't watch
that's
that. Well, I could, but I was watching like the college football championship or the playoffs, and every commercial was either every commercial was either a commercial where a woman is complaining about how her husband snores, mm-hmm. and there's like a new mouth guard to stop him from snoring, or it's about how the mattress, we need different types of mattresses.
Oh, right, the Sleep Number.
Sleep Number and Sleep Right. So it's basically like every man watching this game and the women who have to watch it with them are fucking miserable, can't sleep. And it's like, because every man watching football is like 50 pounds overweight and has sleep apnea and is snoring.
It was insane. I'm going to pull up a picture for you.
I'm going to jack off.
By the way, while Matt's pulling up the picture, speaking of commercials that air over and over again, during all the Investigation Discovery shows.
Oh, man. Is it all I've fallen
into? Asking you to buy gold?
No. It's what I saw the most of and what I noticed was that I think the same company makes them all, but it's basically subscription donation programs for like the ASPCA or for Wounded Warriors and for, you know, good causes. But what I noticed was that all the commercials were exactly the same.
Like the same format?
Same format, same like, and we'll offer you a free gift. And they were all $19.90. It was like they were all the same price every month. And I was like, oh, is this all just one company that these all filter through?
Yeah.
And that's how that works.
I would think so. I would think so, someone that nobody's – you're not getting commercial ad space where some people
but
are making money.
But they just rotated them every break, and it was the same combination.
And you just
of
kept
like
giving
same,
money?
I've subscribed hundreds of times.
Literally hundreds of times.
That I feel like I – so it's weird. Like I would assume like you're like, you know what? I'm on vacation. I don't get to do this. I'm just going to sit down and watch television.
That's right.
And then you're like, oh, my God, I forgot about commercials.
I completely forgot about commercials, and I didn't fast forward through them.
Yeah, I love commercials.
Yeah, Dory, my girlfriend Dory, always wants me to fast forward through commercials, but I'm like, this is kind of half the fun of watching television.
I mean, that's
at this
what
point.
Like Kroll Show is entirely built on me flipping through channels, like aimlessly watching television for like 2 minutes at a time.
I was in the Bahamas and I saw a fucking Empire commercial ad, and I was like, and that fucking
we all thought that was local.
I know.
We all thought it was local.
Because they make it look like a local commercial. Yeah. And then it's like the cartoon version of like Stan Lee's carpet cousin.
Yeah. Leeds. The Leeds. I can't be beat.
Oh, that guy.
that's also.
What I mean is I cannot be killed by conventional means.
Yeah. There are. It's that's also, I guess, a mattress company. But that guy. That I can't be beat. There are so many fonts.
That man baby in the pajamas?
Yeah, curly blonde hair guy who's there's also a real version of him, and then there's the cartoon version of him. There's so many fonts on the Leeds mattress. Oh, wow.
Matt just showed a picture of himself. How old is that picture, man?
From 2003.
You got straight up baby hands.
I know. They were adorable.
They were adorable. Like, oh, my God.
Shit. Whatever.
Wow.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Do you feel markedly better every day?
Well, it's like the things that I can do now, like when I go run around the Hollywood Reservoir and don't stop and I run 3.5 miles and I go, oh, I feel good. I want to lift some weights. I'm like, oh, who the fuck is this?
Yeah.
it's crazy.
Yeah.
Because this guy couldn't walk through the mall without sitting on a fucking
fuck,
bench.
Man. Knees? Were your knees bad?
Knees were terrible. My knees were bad because I slept on them. I would kneel as to breathe the entire night. I would kneel at my bed and just do this. That's how I
Oh,
it was crazy.
But you were also probably sleeping all the time in some regard because you were always tired.
Yeah, right? Yeah.
You weren't getting like nights of sleep.
Right.
You were getting rent.
Sometimes I would drive
Did
home
you just
from
get
Boston.
A new toilet in this picture? What's with the American Standard box?
We were
box?
Replacing with Fawcett. We're very excited about
it. Oh, gotcha. And it's 9:20 in the morning or at night?
Is this in college?
That's probably at night. That is, that's college, yeah. Yeah.
You got to post that picture on Instagram.
It's on. I mean, this is on the Fuck Yeah Matt Myra Tumblr.
Oh, okay.
Well, I just want to know where I can find it so I can Jack went hard.
I'll text it too, bro.
Jack went to the fucking brain, dude.
Yeah.
Shoot hard right in my own eye. Poke my own eye out. Oh, yeah. Like just a fire hose. Speaking of Selma, I wanted to talk about.
I love the nuance of fire hose then speaking of Selma.
Oh,
you
man.
Mean Selma Blair, right? Is that what you're talking
of
about?
Of course. Yeah. Who, you
really
know,
great
in, on, let's be honest.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Hellboy.
Yeah. I remember watching Cruel Intentions and being like, even then being like, you know that she's like, she plays like a high school girl.
She was like 28, 30 at the time.
Yeah, and it was a shock. That movie was on recently. I watched that again.
Cruel Intentions.
Yeah.
Well, that was
a
like,
young, innocent Reese Witherspoon.
Well, yeah, probably like freshly pregnant by Ryan Phillippe.
Yep. may have gotten pregnant during the during one of the scenes.
Like
in
Winona
the movie.
Ryder was like playing high school people for a decade and a half. Like Heather's up through like Girl Interrupted.
Yeah, I saw her in New York at a hotel talking to a doorman at the a bellman at the hotel. She's like, you know how. You know, like when I was, you know how the thing like where sometimes you feel like you're sipping too much and then sometimes you don't feel like you're sipping enough? And, wow. And
I hope she was holding a sippy cup at the time.
She was holding like 7 bags.
Oh.
It was.
What was it about?
I have no idea. I had no context for what was happening, except that the bellman didn't either.
Oh.
Oh
was
wow.
he just sort of nodding?
Uh-huh.
Do you think she's...
I'd like to have her on the show.
She's...
Katie, get on that.
Can we get on that?
Get one on that.
Email... On, she did funnier... She did
Debbie
drink,
and
Drunk
Ashley.
History.
Yeah?
She did Drunk History a bunch, yeah. She's on. She's supposed to be lovely, but, you know...
I would love to have her on.
Yeah. She'd be fascinating to talk to.
She's responsible for my weird pilgrim fetish.
Really?
The Crucible?
From the Crucible. Bro. Come on, man.
Bro.
For me, it's Danny Day.
Yeah.
You joking me, bro?
Danny Day-Lewis.
Jacket to that guy building his own house.
Fucking bucklehats.
Mr. Proctor.
Fucking buckleheads. Look at these buckleheads over here trying to establish
a
colony.
I like the way they're so dressed. There's so many layers.
They are. Do you like that? Trying to get all that off.
So
what are you? You don't know what you're going to do. Are you going to write a? Are you going to do write a movie? Or?
I have a movie coming out in the spring that I wrote the idea for and then produced and starred. And it's me, Rose Byrne, and Bobby Cannavale, and it's called Adult Beginners. And it's about, I'm like a douchey New York entrepreneur, and the bottom falls out of my business and my world, and I have to leave the city, and the only place I go is I move in with my sister and her husband and their 3-year-old, and I become their nanny.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like a small, it's like a funny...
Psychological thriller?
It's like a funny you can count on me, is like how I pitch
right.
it. So it's so that comes out, so I'll go obviously promote that. And probably try to come back and be on this podcast.
You can come on whenever you want.
Yeah, but you know, so that's coming out, and so I think, you know, and there are a couple movies that I'm starting to write, and
are you circling anything, Nick?
I'm circling a few things, and some things that I'm like, hopefully, you know, are movies that could go that I would be involved in, and I'm starting to think about other shows, new shows that I would go make, and I don't know though. I don't have there's nothing like. Like, it's not like I'm putting this to bed.
Are you going
to
tour at all?
I don't know.
You don't know.
I don't know. I mean, are you doing stand-up still?
Yeah, I'm about to go. I start my tour starts in a week.
How are you... When do you... How are you writing material?
It's really... Has not been productive in the stand-up material, right? I shouldn't say that because people are going to come out to the show. I mean, yes. It has been
great.
A treasure trove.
Yeah.
No, I've just been... I just, like, make notes.
Yeah.
I use Evernote, and
yeah.
I make notes on Evernote.
Yeah.
Whenever I can.
Yeah.
And then, and you know.
Run it when you can.
And run it when I can,
yeah. I'm now to the point where I've done so little stand-up based in the last year. That it's not that. I have an hour that I can tour with, but I feel like I've hit a bunch of the cities that I would normally go to tour, and I don't want to go back to them with material that they've seen.
Right, right, right.
So... and I have to decide, like, when you do stand up, as you know, you have to decide to, like, go fucking do it.
Yep.
Like, you can't dip your toe in. Like, when you'll go on your tour and you have to commit to a tour, though, too.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, there are all these things that, like, you have to fucking jump in. And so I'm like, do I want to jump in and go really after it? And because if I do it, I really want to be good. I want to fucking go do really good stand-up.
Yeah.
And I don't know whether I have that. Because, like, it's like, you have to be like, 4 nights a week at least, you know, that you're like dropping in and doing spots.
Right.
And then you're going on a real tour and running that hour and running it fucking, you know, like and just nailing it, you know?
Yeah, it's daunting.
Yeah.
But it's
also so fun. And when you get on the road and you like you get to see fans and you get to do like, and by the way, and now entering this thing where I don't have the immediate gratification of having a show on basically all year long between Kroll show in the league, like, it's like, how am I going to fill that void? Where's that empty barrel that can't be filled?
Right.
How am I going to fill it halfway until it drains out and it's empty again?
Maybe food? Maybe food, buddy?
Maybe food, by the way.
You guys should switch.
Yeah, man. Oh,
you should pass
each
other.
By the way, I do have a feeling by the end of this year we will have crossed through one another and I'll be on the other side. I'll be like, I am sleeping on my knees.
I read a nice thing about you that Amy said in an interview where she said that you had a very calming effect. She was like, Nick has such a calming effect.
Yes. She was very sweet to say that. It's a very, you know, it's like sleep treats us all differently in different times in our lives, you know? And so I feel like, I think men generally sleep better than women. Is that a crazy statement to make?
I don't know. My girlfriend sleeps way better than I do.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't sleep great either.
Well, you're a bunch of couple of ladies.
Maybe like, you're the lady.
Yeah, maybe I am the lady.
Do you sleep a long time? Do you sleep
I sleep a good amount. Yeah. I left to my own devices, I could sleep 9 hours a night.
Wow.
Five.
Really?
5 hours. And sometimes I can make myself go back to sleep for like another hour and a half. But that is it. And on vacation, I was sleeping a ton, which totally was weird.
How did you feel? Did you feel better?
Yes, but I wasn't sleeping. I wasn't necessarily sleeping for like 8 hours at a time because we were in the Bahamas with my girlfriend and her family, and we had our own room in this house. But her,
you would go like take a 2 hour nap.
I would take a nap because her sister has an 18-month-old and a 5-month-old, and so they would wake up at 6.
Yeah,
and so at 6 o'clock in the morning, you would just hear kid time. And they're adorable kids, and I was on vacation, so it wasn't like, I gotta be up at night. Yeah. I was like, oh, I'll just sleep, you know, so I would be up for like an hour and then go back to sleep for another couple hours, you know, and it was great.
Yeah. I'm very capable of sleeping a good amount, but I don't know if it really actually helps me. Like, it's not like I'm like, I feel so refreshed, I'm so much more productive, but I also think like, like I look at you being, and I'm like, God damn it! You do so much that like there is advantages to not sleeping as much.
But it's not. I don't choose to not sleep. I just don't. And if I sleep,
you're like the villain in Die Another Day who didn't sleep at all.
That's right. I'm exactly like the villain in Die Another Day.
Formerly a North Korean guy, right?
Yep.
Did Reconstruction look white?
Yeah. I mean, it's all there. It's all there in the Invisible movie,
car?
Which is basically just a biography of my life.
I don't know what the movie is.
It's a James Bond movie.
James Bond movie.
Oh. I thought it was Dine Another Day.
Dine Another Day.
And that's why you guys are going to switch places later this year.
I keep eating myself.
If I were to sleep for 8 hours, I would have sleep hangover all day. And like my eyes would be super puffy and I'd be disoriented. Like, I cannot sleep that long.
I was in Palm Springs over the holiday and I crushed sleep.
You
so
did it,
hard.
And did you feel better?
It was amazing.
Now, when you wake up, when you guys do wake up, are you like productive?
Yeah,
you are. See, that's the thing. Is like, if my problem is I can't wake up before the first thing until the first thing I have to do that day. So, like, basically, like if I have something like a call time at 6 a.m., I'm up at 5:30, no problem.
Right.
But if I don't have my first call or meeting or whatever until 10. I'm waking up at 9:30. Like, there's no in between. You know what I mean? And there's no difference for me.
You don't like a nice lead time to the first.
Oh, I would love it. I would love that. But my body my mind in the morning is like, nope, 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 nope.
Yeah, I got up because I'd go to the gym this morning at 9, so I got up at 7 so that I could eat at around 7:30-ish. So that the food would be processed enough so that I wouldn't feel
that's
sick.
Very
at the gym.
Impressive.
So and I have to go at 7 to our trainer.
Really?
Yeah. That's I have to be here at 8.
And so then you're at 7. So you wake up at 5:30. Yep. But why do you have to wake up an hour and a half before you go to the gym?
Eat.
Yeah, because you have to. Your body kind of needs to process the food, and if it doesn't, then you run the risk of throwing up your lungs.
Or if you don't eat, you're just dead.
Yeah, you just die.
Yes, I feel that. But I was told that you're supposed to eat after you work out because
you're supposed
to just get a little something in.
Yeah,
you need it's better to eat a little bit carbier before your workout because that is the fuel for your workout, and proteinier afterwards because that helps build up the
Welcome to Fitness Chat.
Welcome to Fitness Chat.
Welcome back.
Yay.
Nerdist no more, bro.
Welcome to Fitnessist. It's a little clunky.
I benched 950 pounds today. How about you?
Yo.
I could deadlift your fucking mother. Next caller.
Next.
This is a podcast. Next caller.
What happened to, why don't you guys talk about comic books?
We are here to tell you to stop idolizing the bullshit fake strong people and look at us.
Okay.
Thank you for your call. Next caller.
I like that. I'm assuming, based off what you said earlier, that your meathead is a Boston-based meathead.
Sure is.
Hello, long-time listener, first-time caller. Why should they change the way that the podcast
And you are, are you from your... Are you originally from...
I am living in the...
Are you fixing taxi cabs?
Yeah.
Is Danny DeVito your boss?
What a dream.
I am from Meepos.
I am from, by the way, I just saw a play in New York with
Bronson Pinchot? Mark Lynn Baker.
Yes. Who's like a, do you know Mark Lynn Baker was at Yale with John Turturro and I believe Paul Giamatti. Francis McDormand. There was Fred Melamed, who was in A Serious Man and has become... But, there's this class of, 1981 Yale Drama School. Not Glenn Close. There's, an insane list out of that school. And Mark Lynn Baker was the star of that era at Yale.
He has a great Broadway career.
Yes, he has a great Broadway career.
He probably has enough money that he doesn't give a shit.
Yeah. Well, he was in My Favorite Year, which is a fucking fantastic movie with Peter O'Toole.
Yeah, but let's talk about him as Cousin Larry.
Yep.
Bronson Pinchot. Did you watch, speaking of reality shows, have you watched any of Bronson Pinchot's?
Yeah.
He has a DIY show.
No, I
Yeah, where he just starts, he's fixing a house. There's a lot of those DIY shows where celebrities get paid to fix their own homes.
I'm trying to fix my career by fixing this house.
Jenny Garth just had one. William Shatner has one now.
Yes, I remember hearing William Shatner talk about it. It's a...
Vanilla Ice had one originally. Now he's doing the Amish one.
Oh, is he? Yeah.
Vanilla Ice goes Amish.
Yeah, I think those folks are
Well, I'm sorry to crap on the... premise of the show, but if you're being filmed, you're not being Amish.
Have you watched? I never watched that Amish Mafia. Did you watch that show at all?
Amish Mafia, I did not see, but Breaking Amish.
I watched Breaking Amish.
Yes,
which was it was annoying because literally every confessional that they had was if you did this in the Amish community, you'd be shunned. Everything was yeah, get it. They would shun you for everything.
Yeah.
You're doing the show, so you automatically would be shunned, so they would shun you for everything else.
Right, so what is the deal? All those people, there's no way they're really... I mean, I guess they have their Rumspringer, right?
But they can do... I think they can do it during
whatever they want.
I don't think they were on Rumspringer, though, because they were all not teenagers.
I think the point is that... Amish sounds terrible.
By the way, I have to find a picture. The Shakey's Pizza that's across the street from us.
Yeah, the beautiful redo they
fucking did. Killing it with their parties. Because I have a picture of a thing that says "Happy Rumspringa, Harrison," and I was such a strange. That's I don't know if he's really living Rumspringa to its fullest extent,
but
I guess Shakey's is a good place to start.
Right, but if he's getting shouted out by Shakey's, he's spending a lot of his time there, right?
I guess so, maybe.
Oof.
Video games and potato logs. Do they still do the potato logs?
That Shakey's is where they do the Simmons' Fantasy Football League does the banquet.
Really?
Every year.
At Shakey's?
Yeah, it's
we should go there.
John Hamm.
Why haven't we been there? It's a fucking. It's almost across the street.
Because it's Shakey's. I think that's why we have
Matt will go on a cheat day.
Oh,
and we'll totally have Shakey's.
And just quickly to all the Amish listeners out there.
No, they wouldn't.
For the podcast.
Mennonites maybe, but not Amish.
We love you.
No, thank you for risking being shunned for listening to this podcast.
Keep reaching for the stuff.
Yeah, and you know all those.
Can you put on one of them buckle hats from Myra? No, it's not the same.
No, but it works.
But all those, just quickly, at all the Amish Kroll Show fans out there. You know, this is the final season.
Matt gets a boner every time he sees oatmeal, just because of William.
My
Penn.
Dad's a Quaker.
He's a Quaker. Quaker.
My dad looks like if you put your thumbs over the sides of the Quaker Oats guy's hair, the sides of his hair, it looks exactly like my dad.
Did you tell him that?
I think I've told him that.
Does he appreciate that?
Sure, he doesn't care. You know what I mean? My dad is like, reminds me of Cosby pre-current circumstances.
Right.
Like Cliff Huxtable and Cliff and Claire Huxtable are like kind of how I see my, like when I watch the Cosby Show now, it reminds me of like, I can't separate it from how my parents were. It was like my dad eating a salted hoagie and my mom being like, don't eat that hoagie.
And then your friend you Cockroach idiot. Coming over
yeah,
to, make,
exactly.
to make a music
all
video.
It was like the whole, their relationship in my mind is summed up by him wanting to eat that sandwich.
Yeah.
And Claire not wanting.
Don't you eat that sandwich,
yeah.
Cliff.
Yeah.
Don't you eat that sandwich.
Yeah.
I know you're going to eat that sandwich.
And she would leave. He'd always get the sandwich out.
And he was, it was salty.
And then Rudy would catch him, and then she would break the law.
She was. Did you guys see that she got booted
off
from Celebrity Apprentice?
She wouldn't ask him.
She wouldn't ask him. She's like, I haven't talked to him in 5 years or whatever,
which,
you know.
Good for her. Like, that's a weird thing to do, to call up someone and go, hey, help me with a thing.
Yeah.
Also, surprising. He might be a monster.
Yeah.
And she got her check already for being on the show. It's fine.
Yeah, so it's all fine.
And surprisingly, Trump wasn't able to see the nuances of it. Who knew? Who
don't
knew?
I don't get it.
For the record, this was shot before the current Cosby situation.
Oh, wow. The meathead is a big Celebrity Apprentice apologist.
Or
huh?
Are you Donald Trump? I'm just trying to figure out what to
guys,
yes and.
Guys, every morning I get into work over here at midnight, and we have to sift through the bullshit news that
uh-huh.
was in the packet.
So yes.
That's why I...
But I just want to understand, is the meathead...
You're fucking A right I am. Celebrity Apprentice is the greatest competition show on television other than the CrossFit thing.
Mr. Trump.
So you're not doing Donald Trump.
Mr. Trump. I do a very good Donald Trump. It goes like this.
That's pretty good. It's not bad.
Yeah.
We're all still just doing, what's his face?
Daryl Hammond?
Yes.
Yep.
Yep. We are.
Daryl Hammond doing the character.
And that's what everyone's Bush is, right?
Everyone's Bush is Dana Carvey doing.
Yes. No one has Bush anymore. It's 2014. Come on, guys. Ladies, trim their shit.
Pubic lice
right?
is going extinct.
It is because of...
Not when I'm done with this year.
Wait. You're going to bring pubic lice back in full force?
Oh, yeah.
That's what you're going to do after the Kroll
show? Oh, yeah. That's my goal.
I decided to not do the Kroll show anymore so that I can raise awareness for pubic
He's
lice.
He's growing the beard to just eat chicks.
Do you know that for $19.95 a month, you can support...
You can raise a pubic lie? Is that the single? Is that the a pubic lie?
I don't know. No, a pubic lie is my dick is really
Maybe
wide.
It's a louse? Like it's like mice?
It's a louse. It's Laotian. Yeah.
No.
Pubic louse.
Wait a minute, guys. We're crossing our riffs here. Yeah. Don't cross the streams. Okay, not louse. He's talking about lice.
Speaking of crossing the stream, I'd love to weigh in on this Ghostbusters, the three lady Ghostbusters.
Kroll weighs in.
Here's who I want it to be. Lucille Ball.
Uh-huh.
Lucille Roberts.
What?
And Robert Evans.
So there I was.
Yeah.
Slimer came over to my house.
Did I want to kill Slimer? You bet I did.
Did I fuck Slimer? You're goddamn right I did.
Did Slimer eat all those hot dogs and then they fell right out of the bottom of his body?
You know it.
You know it.
No one knows who Robert Evans is listening to this
they
podcast.
Do. The kid stays in the, right?
Yeah. Kids, oh, yeah. I guess
stays
came
in the picture?
Out, yeah.
The cartoon?
The kid stays in the spirit photography picture.
Oh, fuck.
That would be fantastic. Robert Evans. What if... Now,
No.
Here we go.
No, Chris, no.
We've shit on the Cruise comic for doing Jim Carrey in Traffic, and now we're like, what if Robert Evans was in Ghostbusters?
Yeah, exactly, though. I stand by it.
Something like this.
I stand by it. Robert Evans isn't a comedian.
Call? Yeah.
Yeah, Robert Evans.
What would you call Ghostbusters?
Yeah. Would Robert Evans be a Venkman type? He would be Venkman, right? Robert Evans would have to be
Venkman.
Yeah,
but yeah. But to be for the all the lady Ghostbusters, he would be, of course, in drag.
Yeah.
Okay.
Am I a lady? You know it. You bet it.
Yeah, I am.
You
of course I am.
Do I have a penis? You're goddamn right I don't.
Do you know, there was a story that I was told by someone who knew Robert Evans that he had...
Wait. Is this the story where you're to say that he had a box under his bed and there was pubic hair from every woman that he had ever slept with, but compartmentalized?
Yes, correct.
Yes. That is not a riff. That's an actual thing. Yes. I heard the same thing.
Collected from the bed. Like, after he finished having sex with one of these women, they, like, collected the pubic hair.
So he would have to make sure he would shake a couple apples loose, right? Because you don't necessarily...
Did I shake all the apples loose I could?
You bet I did.
I saw him and Sumner Redstone at Dantana's having a...
Already an amazing story. That sounds made up.
Me and Mulaney amazing. Had a 5:30, like we were meeting for a drink to have dinner at like 6 or 6:30, whatever it was. And it was Robert Evans and Sumner Redstone having a 5:30 fish dinner at Dantana's.
Oh my God.
They were out the door by 6.
Wow.
It's great.
Well, yeah, because he had to go sweep the bed to get all the all the pubes in the
box. Sweep the bed.
sweep
the bed, Danielson.
No, Johnny would be sweeping the bed.
Oh, sorry. Yes.
Johnny would be sweeping the bed.
Sorry. No, I think Willie Nelson would be sweeping the bed.
Willie Nelson would be sweeping the bed while he was singing Islands in the Stream.
And just quickly, you know, if Robert's listening, big fan of all the movies. I don't want to.
That is a strange thing to do. I wonder what happened to that box after he died.
He's still alive.
Robert Evans
he's
is still alive?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He can't still be alive.
Oh, yeah, he's still alive.
He's got to be 100 years old.
Am I alive? You bet.
You bet. Do I breathe out of my mouth because cocaine has collapsed my entire nose?
You bet I did.
You know I
did.
You know it is.
You got that right.
It's what?
He's 84. I
didn't realize Robert Evans was still alive.
I'm not 100.
Yeah. That's fantastic news.
How do I say this on the podcast where I have to leave shortly?
No, go. We got to go anyway.
We should concoct some sort of a strange... Now, your work with pubic lice awareness has been...
I'm glad we've gotten to this.
And I know there's a lot of pubic lice out there that needs your help.
Needs a home.
Some of it, Robert Evans is doing everything he can.
For the price of a cup of coffee.
You can get some.
You can get some of Robert Evans' pubic lice,
and then collect her pubic lice and raise a colony.
Raise awareness. And by the way, if you do get enough pubic lice, you can cut it up in a line, and Robert Evans will snort it right up that collapsed
schnoz. Can we make pubic lice ads that were like those old sea monkeys ads that had like at least humanoid colony?
Oh yeah, like playing like racquetball.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, we can.
So I know that you. I know that you have a busy engagement to attend right now. Your pubic lice awareness. The Pubic Lice of Hollywood chamber.
You go to the Pubic Lice of Hollywood. Go to PubicLice.gov.
And go to FuckYeahPubicLice.tumblr.com.
Give money. Fuck yeah. Go to FuckYeahPubicLice.tumblr.com.
Too many people are shaving it off, and these colonies are being uprooted.
Just a quick anecdote. My brother did get crabs at some point, like in high school, which I'm sorry to, you know, buddy. And he went to my mom and was like, I got crabs, I don't know what to do. My mom said, what you do is you shave half your pubes, light the other half on fire, and when the crabs scurry across, you stab them with a knife.
Did she say that?
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
And then she turned around and said, Cliff, don't you eat that sandwich.
Don't you eat that sandwich.
Don't you put that salt on that sandwich.
Don't you put that salt on that sandwich.
Well, Nick Kroll, it was delightful to have you.
Thank you for having me back. I appreciate it every time.
So we'll see you in
When's
April.
The Kroll Show, the final
Kroll
season
Kroll Show premiere? Premieres January 13th at 10:30. It's every Tuesday night after Tosh. And I think I will be on...
At midnight, some point in the next week or two.
With John Daly. And is it Seth Morris?
Yeah.
So both Kroll Show MVPs. You'll know Seth Morris as Bob Duca. You'll know John Daly as somebody who's on At Midnight, but also does Peter Paparazzo and Wendy Shawn and Rich Dix and Coach Teacher in Wheels, Ontario. I really do think like this season we are going out because I felt like we were done with what we did, but I feel really I would encourage people to go watch seasons 1 and 2 if they haven't watched the show. It's on the app, like the CC app, and it's on Hulu right now. Go watch it because season 3 will be so much more gratifying if you've watched the first 2 seasons because it's all building, it's all these characters, and there's all this information that's already been delivered.
And it's okay to DVR because it doesn't because you don't care if the show gets picked up.
No, yeah. Watch it whenever the fuck you want. I don't care about numbers.
Yeah, correct. Good to see you, Nick.
Good to see you. Thanks, guys.
Enjoy your burrito, everybody.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you, Nick Kroll.
Thank you.
Now leaving Nerdist.com. Enjoy your burrito.
Behind every successful business is a story, and some of them might surprise you. Like how Chobani's first yogurt factory was discovered on a piece of junk mail, or how the founder of the multi-million-dollar cosmetics brand Drunk Elephant was told by everyone, including her own mother, that the name sounded like a dive bar. I'm Guy Raz, and on my show How I Built This, I talk to founders behind the world's biggest companies and brands to learn the real stories of how they built them. In each episode, you'll hear entrepreneurs share moments of doubt and failure and talk about how they were able to overcome them on their way to the top. How I Built This is like a masterclass in innovation and creativity, a how-to guide for navigating life's challenges from the people who've done it all. Follow How I Built This on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen to How I Built This early and ad-free right now on Wondery Plus.